Professors FM.
Hey there, tax nerds. Before we dive into the episode, check out Fanalytics with Mike Lewis of Emory University. Like us, Mike breaks down complex topics, but for the world of sports. Explore player performance, fan loyalty, and even non-sports fandom. It's also a part of Professors FM, the podcast network making sense of the world with top scholars.
I'm Bridget Stomberg.
And I'm Lisa DeSimone.
And this is Taxes for the Masses.
Today's episode is on Shohei Ohtani's creative contract with the Dodgers.
In December 2023, baseball player Shohei Ohtani signed a record-breaking deal to join the LA Dodgers. Interestingly, the vast majority of the $700 million deal will be paid out after Ohtani's 10-year playing contract ends. In this episode, we discuss the possible tax motivations for this creative contract structure. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Bee. And hello, dear listeners. We're wishing you a very pleasant afternoon, wherever you may be.
I'm sorry, is this a baseball thing?
It is indeed.
Okay.
I think you know why I'm so excited to talk about Shohei Ohtani today.
Yes, I do. This is actually a no-brainer for me. Today's episode combines your passion for the LA Dodgers with your passion for taxes.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
And I may need that enthusiasm throughout to stay awake.
I can bring it.
All right. So what I really want to know, what I think America wants to know, for being honest, is why are you such a Dodgers fan? Because to my recollection, you have never once lived in either the LA area or Brooklyn. For that matter.
That is correct. But I grew up watching baseball. And as a result, I became an unintentional fan of Major League Baseball, which I luckily share with my spouse now.
Okay, that makes sense. And as will become clear in this episode, I don't know a ton about baseball.
Uh-huh.
But one thing I guess I suspect, isn't it that everybody sort of hates the Dodgers?
So you do know a lot about baseball.
I would not say a lot. I know the gossipy part of baseball.
Okay.
Astros are cheaters. Everyone hates the Dodgers.
Well, okay. Astros are cheaters. That's just fact. That's not gossip. The Dodgers are the team everybody loves to hate. To be clear, I never intended to be a Dodgers fan. When we moved to California, so my spouse and I, after I graduated the PhD program here in Texas, we decided to try to watch some California teams to see if we could find a local team that we liked. And that, dear listeners, is how we discovered the late, great Hall of Famer, Vin Scully.
Is this a player?
No. Vin Scully was the Dodgers announcer for over 65 years.
65 years?
Yes. And to be clear, for those in the back of the room, I'm not saying he stopped announcing when he turned 65. I'm saying he started announcing for the Dodgers in his early 20s. He continued with that job for 67 years. He retired in 2016 at the age of 88.
Holy moly. I hope I get to retire before I'm 88.
Yeah. And my favorite part of that is that when asked what he was going to do in retirement, his answer was, I'm going to try to live.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, are you telling me that you're a Dodgers fan because of the announcer?
Okay, you gotta listen to this guy sometime.
Unlikely.
He's magical. His voice, absolutely mesmerizing. So he did the play-by-play as well as the color commentary, and he was such an amazing storyteller. He actually announced for radio simultaneously, which was perfect because he could paint the picture of what was going on just by talking, right? So you didn't have to be watching, which is perfect for me because I love nothing more than crawling into bed at night, putting on a game and falling asleep. Mm-hmm. He famously knew when to shut up and mm-hmm. just let you experience a really big moment. And he announced some really big moments. I'm just going to pick one here, but Hank Aaron's record-breaking 715th home run, which was earned by the Braves against the Dodgers in 1974. Hence, Vin Scully had the call.
You really are a baseball fan.
Yeah.
All right. So if we want me to stay awake for this episode, like I promised I would try to do, mm-hmm. I think we really should move on to today's topic and start talking about taxes.
Love it.
Okay. So even though I'm not a Dodgers fan or a baseball fan, as a human being living on this planet who cares about professional sports, I couldn't miss the headlines that in December of 2023, the Dodgers signed Shohei Ohtani to the biggest contract that we've ever seen in sports.
In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Okay. A number of teams were vying for Ohtani, who was the 2018 Rookie of the Year, two-time MVP. He's been in the Major League Baseball since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Ohtani's contract with the LA Angels was up at the end of 2023, and many people speculated that he might end up with the Dodgers. Same city, right? You don't have to relocate.
Yep. And the Dodgers are in need of some pitching, and also Dodgers are in need of some hitting, as it turns out.
So as I am learning, or as I, you know, learned working with you on this episode, Ohtani is a unique player because he is a pitcher, and he also happens to be a power hitter.
He does.
I know what the word pitcher means. Not sure I know what the word power hitter means, but I assume it means he can hit the ball really hard.
You nailed it.
Okay, excellent. And actually, I do know enough to know that that's a rarity in baseball.
Uh-huh.
And we probably haven't seen the likes of someone like this since Babe Ruth.
That's exactly right. Yeah, like most pitchers don't even hit at all anymore in any part of the league. So finding one who's a power hitter is a big deal. And it's only fitting that such a unique player would sign such a unique contract.
Fitting indeed. So not only was the contract huge, $700 million over 10 years, but another unique aspect of it is that Shohei asked the Dodgers not to pay him the bulk of that money until after his 10 years as a player expired.
That is correct. Ohtani will only collect about $2 million per year for 10 years, not $70 million per year. He'll get the bulk of his payout in years 11 through 20, at which time he'll no longer be under contract to play for the Dodgers. And there are at least three reasons structuring the contract this way makes sense.
So since we're talking about this on a tax podcast, I can deduce that one of the reasons is taxes.
Ding, ding, ding.
But it's good to talk about non-tax reasons too, because we're not saying by any means that he did this just for tax purposes.
Correct.
So I was going to say that a second reason might have to do with Dodgers payroll, because I know that other sports leagues like the NFL have a salary cap. So the NFL essentially limits or caps how much a team can spend in total on all of its players each year. And they do that supposedly to level the playing field and also to protect owners from taking on unnecessary financial risk. But again, another little thing I know about baseball, they don't have a salary cap, and you could, in theory, spend to your heart's content, right?
You could, but even if there is no salary cap in whatever sport we're talking about, a lot of times the owner still has, let's call it a budget, a finite set of financial resources.
Sure. Okay.
And Ohtani shared that he prioritizes winning, and in order to win, the Dodgers can't spend all of their money on him. He can't carry the entire team. They need other good players too. So by deferring a whole bunch of his compensation, that frees up funds now for the Dodgers to go recruit and retain other valuable talent so that the whole team can win.
I must say that's a very mature and not egocentric point of view to take.
It is.
All right. So taxes, flexibility for the Dodgers payroll. You said there were three reasons. What's the third reason?
Yeah. So this is something we talk a bit about in my personal finance class, that deferring some of your compensation to the future is kind of like forcing you to save for a rainy day, right? Ohtani can't spend all his money before he retires because he won't even receive the vast majority of it until after his 10 years with the Dodgers are up. So he basically structured a very valuable pension for himself.
Okay, got it. So it's basically like putting a bunch of your current earnings into a 401k or some other sort of deferred compensation account.
Yeah, almost exactly like that, because those accounts have tax benefits in addition to allowing someone to save for retirement, and he's going to get some tax benefits here too.
Okay, so that reminds me of two things.
Okay.
First, I need to go and check my retirement account contributions because the limits increased at the beginning of 2024.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So for all of our listeners out there, you can now contribute $7,000 to an IRA and $23,000 to an employer-sponsored retirement plan like a 401k or a 403b.
Yeah, that's really good thinking. I need to go back and check my contributions too. All right. So what is the second thing that this reminded you of?
I said there were two things, didn't I?
You did.
Yes. I just wanted to remind our listeners that we have previously talked about retirement accounts on prior episodes. So if you need a refresher, this is a good time, right? It's the beginning of the year. If you want to make sure that you're saving, go ahead and check out those old episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
Excellent plug. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. So anything else we should mention about this contract before we dig into the tax implications?
I mean, we can't talk about Ohtani without acknowledging that he's been struggling with some injuries the past few seasons, including one to his pitching arm this most recent season in 2023, which caused him to have surgery and not to pitch for the rest of the season.
But like we said, he's also a hitter. So the plan for 2024 is to start him out as a designated hitter and move him to pitching once he's able.
What a marvelous moment for baseball.
Third thing, we have to have an offline conversation about what a designated hitter is.
Okay.
All right, so let's dig into the tax benefits of deferring $68 million a year for 10 years.
Yes.
Now, one obvious benefit is just the time value of money.
Okay.
I would much rather pay taxes next year than this year because I'd rather keep that money this year and spend it.
Yes.
And this is what we call the timing principle of tax planning. All else equal, I'd rather shift my income, shift the timing of my income across years into the future so that I can postpone income recognition as long as I can while keeping the money that I otherwise would have spent on taxes.
Yeah, or even better, you can invest that money that you save in taxes this year so that you end up with even more money next year. And then after you pay your taxes next year, you're actually better off because you still have some of that investment money left over.
And this, listeners, is just one of the many differences. Lisa's going to save the money that she didn't spend on taxes, and I'm going to spend the money that I didn't spend on taxes. Okay.
That tracks.
And when we're talking about an outflow like taxes, that totally makes sense.
Yep.
But the same argument suggests that you'd rather receive the $68 million today than next year.
Indeed it does, yes.
So it's sort of dumb to say, don't give me the $68 million a year for 10 years, just to avoid paying a fraction of that in taxes.
I totally agree. And what makes that even more interesting is that according to reports, the Dodgers are not going to pay him interest on all of the deferred income. So on the face of it, this kind of looks like a bad deal for Ohtani.
So it does if we're only thinking about a timing strategy.
Okay.
And that must mean that there's a bigger tax play available. And what is better than deferring taxes is avoiding the taxes altogether.
Yes.
And it seems like avoiding, in particular, California state taxes on the bulk of his contract could be the tax play here for Ohtani.
You betcha. The top tax rate in California for personal income in 2024 is a whopping 14.4%.
Holy shnikes.
Holy shnikes indeed. So the suspicion is that Ohtani's plan is to make sure he's not a tax resident of California when he receives the vast majority of that deferred compensation.
So the big planning strategy for Ohtani is not to shift his income across years, but rather to shift it across jurisdictions.
One of my favorite topics ever.
I mean, this is like a try. This is a win-win-win for you.
It is. It really is.
So let's say after he retires, Ohtani moves to Florida, like many other retirees do, where there is no personal income tax. He will save nearly $10 million in taxes per year for those 10 years when he starts earning that deferred $68 million. And again, this isn't a deferral strategy. This is avoiding that tax altogether.
Yeah. And that's not chump change either. $10 million per year. And on top of that, he could avoid paying California payroll taxes for things like disability insurance, which is a small percentage. But for him, it adds up to another estimated $1 million per year that he could avoid entirely if he just leaves the state of California when he starts receiving those big payments.
Yeah.
So in total, as long as he successfully makes sure that his tax domicile is a state with no income taxes instead of California, we're looking at almost $100 million in tax savings by structuring the contract this way.
$100 million on a $700 million contract.
Yes.
That is good tax planning.
It's excellent tax planning.
And it's important to note that all of this is 100% totally and perfectly legal. Ohtani is not doing anything wrong here.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm glad that you pointed that out. Because the laws that allow him to do that are the same federal laws that allow you, me, and many of our listeners to take a portion of our paycheck and put it in a retirement account for, you know, years and years down the road, right? And as long as we do that right, we can avoid paying state taxes on the money that we earn now, but that we put into that retirement account as long as we're not in that state when we go to withdraw in retirement.
That's a really good example. This isn't just something that applies only to the ultra rich and wealthy and famous and sports athletes and entertainers. So you worked in California.
I did.
And knowing what I know about you, you contributed the maximum amount allowable to your retirement account every year while working in California.
You're damn right I did.
So now that you work and live in Texas, where there is no personal income tax, you're going to benefit from this the same way that Otani will.
Exactly. Yeah. Federal laws protect me from California's taxes. California doesn't get to tax me on the amounts I put into my retirement accounts when I worked in California. And they don't get to tax me in the years that I withdraw those funds from the account, as long as I'm not a tax resident of California when I withdraw.
So this isn't just some loophole for the wealthy.
Technically speaking, no. However, practically speaking,
it's just some loophole for the wealthy.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about who really benefits from these laws in practice. Like, yes, the example that I just gave, I benefit from it, right? But generally speaking, those with higher incomes are the ones who are better able to save for retirement because they don't have to spend all of the dollars that they earn today. They could save some of them for the future. So it's basically the wealthier or those with higher incomes who are better able to take advantage of these laws.
And it's worth noting that players like Otani not only can afford to live off a measly $2 million a year, because it's still $2 million freaking dollars, but also because he has other sources of income like endorsement deals. So drawing $2 million from this particular contract is okay because he's got other sources of income that many working stiffs like you and I don't have.
Yeah. Counterpoint, with all of that income, he's very capable of affording all of these California taxes.
But who wants to do that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The flip side of that, of course, as we were just saying, is with all of that income, he's best positioned to defer some of that income until he could set up domicile in a low tax state, or in his case, leave the country altogether in order not to pay any of those taxes.
So you said that there are federal laws in place to protect your and Otani's deferred compensation from California taxes if you don't retire in California.
Correct.
And that made me immediately think that this case is just big enough to catch the attention of some policymakers to potentially change those laws.
Uh-huh.
So enter the controller of the state of California, Malia Cohen. It took only about a month after reports of the deal were confirmed for Cohen to publicly suggest that Congress should revisit these laws, saying, quote, "the absence of reasonable caps on deferral for the wealthiest individuals exacerbates income inequality and hinders the fair distribution of taxes."
In other words?
It's just some loophole for the wealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm a little sympathetic to the argument California is making here because they really have a lot to lose.
And as Vin Scully once said, losing feels worse than winning feels good.
Profound. All right, time for the good, bad, the ugly, and I'm just going to let you run with the good because I can see the smile on your face, and I know you're going to go on and on for a couple minutes here. So have at it.
Okay, I'm gonna try to rein it in, but I obviously am pretty happy I got a chance to talk about my favorite Dodger, Vin Scully, and it wasn't too bad to talk about Shohei Ohtani too. I'm kind of excited to see him play in Pantone 294, which for those of you who are not fanatics like me is otherwise known as Dodger Blue.
This has gone next level.
I'm here to help.
And I think it's good. I feel like our episodes on sports and taxes are always pretty well received. I know I have a couple colleagues who get really excited when they see these types of topics crop up. So I love it because, you know, we're trying to bring taxes to the masses here.
We are, yes.
And also, this is a little bit different. I think this is the first time that we've talked about a situation where an athlete was actually like proactively tax planning.
Yeah. I feel like we've talked about it hypothetically when we were talking about, you know, jock taxes and how they get split amongst states. But this is a case where somebody seems to have been very thoughtful in signing a contract in a tax efficient way.
Yes. I like how you said that, because I think the other example we talked about was sort of ex post trying to do some finagling to get it right. This was an example where he structured the deal in a way to afford him those tax benefits. And I mean, who doesn't love it when athletes understand taxes?
I certainly love it. Yes.
All right. So bad.
Bad. I don't love that the Trolley Dodgers are now going to be called the Tax Dodgers, at least by some. Mm. And incidentally, Tax Dodger is what I plan to dress up as for Halloween next year.
I think it's cute. I think it's nice. You can do some stuff with it in class.
Yeah.
I would say that a bad here is that the equity issues maybe aren't great.
No, they aren't.
So the federal law that we're talking about goes back to 1995, and that is when a Republican-led Congress wanted to prevent states from being able to tax pensions. And while that makes sense to some degree, I think you could make an argument that maybe it's gotten a little out of hand. Mm-hmm. The state of California makes a good point that the federal government could put some caps. Like, we don't have to wholesale eliminate it, but right. we could put some caps on the ability to avoid estate taxes just by moving in retirement.
Exactly.
And I think we'll probably come back to this in the ugly, but if we don't do that, we're essentially exacerbating the state tax competition and race to the bottom.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And like, I classify this next point in the ugly category, which is I like it when the tax code has an internal logic and consistency to it, where it's not just yep. a bunch of rules that you have to memorize. And I genuinely believe in most cases it has an internal logic. But this is an example where there are some rules that are not treated. There's types of income that are not treated consistently. So
okay.
take severance. If you get laid off from your job working in California and you move back, you know, with family or something in Texas where there is no income tax, but you're still getting severance payments for that layoff. Those severance payments can last for a year or even mm-hmm. more. And there's no federal law protecting you from California taxing those severance payments. Mm. So you move and you start withdrawing your retirement income, no problem. Federal law protects you. You move and you're drawing severance income, you get taxed. Explain that one to me.
Yeah, that's not great. And I like you, always like to push for consistency. And, you know, I guess you can make the argument that severance in theory lasts for a shorter period of time, but like you said, it may not. It may or it may not. And if that's really what we want to capture is short-term versus long-term deferral, then let's just be clear about that and not just assume that one type of income is shorter term than the other. So going back to the race to the bottom point, I think it's a valid point. And what I thought about in terms of consistency is when we think about corporate income taxes, mm-hmm. right? Because corporations do business all over the world. It's less common for individuals to have all of these different places when they earn income, but it happens. And in the corporate tax side of things, we like to tax income where it was earned. And so I think what I struggled with a little bit is that he's no doubt earning right. this contract as a Dodger.
Yep.
That means he's earning a very chunky portion of it in California, but he's also going to be earning some of it playing games in other states, like we talked True. About in our jock tax episode. Mm-hmm. So really, it's not just California that's losing out here. It's these other states that are losing out as well. So I think that you could make an argument, again, maybe not all of it, but like there is some logic to taxing at least a portion of this income in the state where it was earned, which for Otani, a big part of that is going to be California.
Yeah, and it's a great point that other states are losing out on this as well, big time. I mean, this is $68 million a year, and you play, 160-something games in a season, something like that, I think, and that's all over the U.S. So, yeah, there's yeah. a substantial portion of that other states are losing out on, not just California. So stay tuned for other state controllers to maybe chime in on this.
Right, because this is just one example, but if we aggregated all of the athletes that mm-hmm. play in high tax states and then retire to low tax states, the amount of lost tax revenue could be substantial.
Agreed.
Do you have any Vin Scully words that you'd like to sign us off with?
I'll just follow his lead and say, this is Lisa and B wishing you a pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be. Well, that's all we have time for today.
Be sure to join us for more tax nerdery on future episodes of Taxes for the Masses.